Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. Busy week in Missouri politics, and we are here joined by a guy who's at the center of the Missouri State Senate drama and the United States Senate race drama, Senate President Dave Schatz. Thank you for making the time.
Well, Scott, appreciate it. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Is there a busier guy in the state of Missouri right now than Dave Schatz?
You know, Scott, every day when I wake up, I feel like I'm starting a race and I'm two laps down. And so nothing different. It's been that way, but I probably wouldn't enjoy it any other way.
Break this down. I think folks have seen you announced for the United States Senate. You've made a significant contribution of your own personal wealth. I think folks have seen the money's come into you compared to with anybody. As far as Missourians making donations, they've supported you in large amounts. Now tell folks what you're going to do with that money. What is the message of why a guy who maybe hasn't really ever heard of you, except just barely, maybe that gun store owner in West Plains or that guy that's a butcher in Marshfield, why should you vote for Dave Schatz?
Well, I think, Scott, that is the part of the key is we got to get people to know who Dave Schatz is. And the reality of it is this is I'm a young guy that grew up in rural Franklin County that obviously come from a blue-collar household, small business. My dad was a small businessman. I'd rather prefer a toolbox to a briefcase, and I'd rather wear blue jeans than a suit, and I'd rather prefer a handshake as a contract. We've been job creators, but again, a guy that's been in, willing to work hard, not the guy that's been out there trying to get in front of a camera, but just going in there and getting the job done and doing the job that I've been elected to do. And if people get to understand that and say, listen, this is the type of politics we're looking for, someone that's willing to roll up their sleeves, find ways to get things accomplished, and go to work for Missourians, and I'm that person. And I don't have to change anyone and become anyone. That's just what I've done all my life.
So I got to be kind of a fly on the wall at one of your events, and there wasn't much room in the room except to be a fly. I was a large fly, I suppose, a horse fly. I got to see Charlie Schlottich, supporter of yours, friend of yours, from your neck of the woods down in Rosebud. He said something I thought was interesting. He said, well, Dave Schatz is people come to Jeff City and there's a little change. He said, Dave Schatz is the guy. I met you when you were in the house. You're pretty much that guy I met today that you were then. And you've been, traveled around the country and the state and the world as Senate leader, as a state leader. It's that changes most people. You're pretty much the guy I met day one.
I do think that there's some things I would say I've improved a little bit. I'd say I've made some improvements from the time I went there. But no, the Dave Schatz that walked in the Capitol, some 12 years ago is the same Dave Schatz that's going to walk home. It's the same Dave Schatz you're going to see in Sullivan, Missouri, or you're going to see here on Missouri this week in Missouri politics. I'm not trying to be anybody ML. Again, I'm probably, my greatest accomplishments in my life are my family, my kids and my grandkids. I'm more proud of that than anything I've ever done. And the reason I'm in politics is because I'm concerned about the world they're going to grow up in. And I want to make sure that that they get the same opportunities and have the same, chances that I've been able to have in my life. And so, again, I'm not trying to be anybody else other than just, at the end of the day, I'm grandpa and I'm good with that.
So your race had a pretty interesting development last week. The former First Lady of Missouri come out and alleged under sworn affidavit that there was domestic violence in, during former Governor Greitens' time as governor. There was some incidents of child abuse in that time since. That cuts anybody to the quick. It kind of gives you an odd feeling in your stomach to even say those words out loud. What was your reaction to that?
Well, first and foremost, again, when Governor Greitens resigned, I thought it was an appropriate thing to do. He wasn't fit for office then. I don't think he's fit for running for this office either. That's part of the reason why I'm in this race. I believe that obviously I think we need something different than that. And again, I think everyone, will go to the point where everybody gets a fair shake, allegations. But if proven true, obviously, that's no one that we can send to Washington, D.C. to represent us.
Interesting thing, and maybe this goes into maybe the central reason why you're running. As I seen Jackson County having a Lincoln Day, good folks. I know the chairman personally. He's a good man. I know a lot of folks in Jackson County Republican politics. That is, they have not had the easiest hand from the days of Pendergast on. I mean, that's a group that's had to struggle to do well, and they've done well. I saw where they disinvited a candidate for governor. I thought, well, good for them. I mean, to stand against domestic violence, child abuse. Good for them. And then I saw it was you. And I was like, well, now you're telling me that a gas tax, which, I mean, it pales in comparison to the one that Governor Ashcroft brought in 92, but it does help build roads. I was startled. And I guess maybe the thing I've enjoyed watching about your campaign is maybe it's time for the crazy to slow down. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, no, I don't understand it. Scott, doesn't make any sense. You know, when over half of the General Assembly elected Republicans, the governor, lieutenant governor, supported this issue, I wonder if they're not going to invite those individuals. For them to do that, I just don't really understand. It does make no sense, especially the guy that plans on being the next U.S. Senator. You know, I think when that becomes a reality, are they not going to invite me to Jackson County at that point? I mean, I don't get it, so it doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, you know, Attorney General Schmidt supported the last gas tax on the ballot. Throughout history, Republicans have led the way on building infrastructure. This is something I don't understand. I've seen folks that say, well, if it gets enough likes on Twitter or Facebook, then it's conservative. Well, you've actually owned a business. You know what a K-1 is. Some of the folks here are saying, I remember a conversation that you had with Doug Leibler, Senator Leibler from the Boot Hill, and Senator Kehoe, Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, right, was in the dais. The three of you probably created more jobs together than most any other person or group of people that's been in the Senate recently. I think it's an odd thing. If you never ran a business, if you don't maintain the roads, you're going to spend twice as much in the long run. If you don't build roads, it hurts economic development. Infrastructure is a conservative idea that actually produces results. I don't understand how it became just run it terribly, but get likes on Twitter and stamp it conservative.
Well, again, I drove in here, Scott, on roads coming in I-44, and if you drove up and down them, obviously you know that the need's there. Our roads, having safer roads, bridges, obviously, is probably one of the greatest things we can do in making an investment in infrastructure. Trying to attract business and industry to our state without the infrastructure to support it, you know, we're not going to be able to do that. Again, I also have always said that the longer we wait, the more we delay, the more these roads decay. And so it's irresponsible not to invest in our infrastructure.
Is it just you've never ran a business, you don't really understand how?
I think it's simple. It's economics when it comes to you either raise the bridge or lower the water. Is the analogy. And if, you know, it takes a certain amount of money to maintain the system. And again, we can't do it on 1996 funding. People have to understand, you know, inflation. They have to understand depreciation. When you understand that from a business owner's perspective, you cannot buy equipment in 1996 and expect it to last for the rest of your life. And you can't build bridges and roads that were built 45 years ago and expect that they're always going to be there without making some additional investments. And so the only responsible thing to do, Scott, was to increase the user fee, where all of the users of the systems are the one paying for it. And we did that. I would do it again because it's the right thing to do.
Let's talk about the Senate. First thing, I get to sit and watch the Senate, maybe more than any other Missourian. And I don't know when it became the goal of the Senate to pass a bunch of stuff. I mean, really, your goal, especially if you're conservative, would be to not pass a bunch of stuff. What is the thought that you guys should just go in there and PQ a bunch of things like your House members?
Well, I don't know that that's the case. I've been in the Senate when we've used the PQ.
Do you mind that the Senate doesn't just pass a bunch of bills?
No, I do think, you know, having a responsible debate and conversation and moving the process forward is something that should be a deliberative body, finding ways to find solutions and things. That's what the Missouri Senate should be. Again, sometimes it get used as a tool to obstruct the process and really, you know, not get anything done. But at the end of the day, I think that we need to make progress on good issues and have a delivery process that does that.
Truck driver and Sullivan safer if you pass a lot or a little or none? I'm not sure.
At the end of the day,
I'm pretty sure it's not the first one.
Yeah, I do know this. We have a constitutional requirement to pass a balanced budget in this state. And when we do that, if we meet that obligation, and I think the maps are another thing, that's something that we've been tasked to do for, you know, every 10 years. But it's one of the things that we should accomplish.
I watched the press conference after you finished the maps. I'm not sure that you could probably say that is the best contiguous compact map. It felt like it was not passed even for partisan reasons. It felt like you had to make Senator Onder happy with that map. And it looked like in order to do that, you had to do a bunch of things that put a lot of House members in where they probably couldn't vote for with a straight face. It looked like I saw you and Senator Rowden split your own counties. I thought that was what actual leadership would look like. You gave Senator Onder enough that he could at least let the bill go to a vote and not vote for it. That map did not seem to have, I don't think that many were proud of the map.
No, but it was, here's the thing.
It's all you could pass, right?
It's the only thing that we could pass at the time. Could we have come up, I've been in a room and drawn hundreds of maps and looked for 100 solutions to try to find a way. This was a map that ultimately at the end of the day was one that could get to the floor and get a vote. We've had maps that we could get, had enough votes, many maps that we've had enough votes for that were better maps that could get done. But actually to get one to a vote.
The map you came out with in December, look, no matter how you draw a map, somebody's ox is getting gored. I thought in hindsight that map has looked pretty good since it was put out. You endorsed that map, I think, at the time. That map is going to gore some. Any map's going to be tough for somebody to take. But at the end of the day, I mean, I thought that map has kind of stood the test of time better than any other.
I will tell you this, that as we drew these hundreds of variations of maps, we would go back and we'd say, well, let's try this. And guess what? We'd get back to them and say, well, that's 2117. You know, we've done that. We've already drawn that map because as you move these pieces around and try to do that, we would always get back to that map. And that's why 2117 was that map that came out of that process. But at the end of the day, yes, could we have a better map than the one that we actually passed? It did improve CD2, which is one of the things that we wanted to accomplish. It checked several boxes and it ultimately allowed for a vote. Obviously, we've seen the House reject that, and so where we go next, I believe, is anybody's guess.
You've been in the House. You can understand Representative Black in Marshfield. He couldn't vote for this, right? He should put his courthouse down the middle. I mean, you could. I mean, I don't think anybody holds any odd against a guy that's not going to vote for him that literally splits his courthouse. I mean, you can understand why House members just couldn't go along with this.
No, absolutely. Like I said, we felt like, and again, an opportunity for that map to go to conference and work out the differences should be the right, reasonable way to do this. We'll do the same thing, you know, in the budget. We're going to get the House budget. We're going to put the Senate budget together, and we're going to make a motion to go to conference. We're going to go to conference. We're going to work out the differences. We're going to come up with a budget we can pass. Shouldn't be no different with the way this map should work out. And so, but unfortunately, there are some folks that are going to reject the notion and allow us to take that map to conference because they're concerned with the outcome.
At the press conference, it sounded like essentially you come up with this map that you were willing to vote for, maybe didn't love, so that you could move on and take up some of the other issues before the body.
Sure.
Monday, and I mean, obviously, Senator Onder was the big winner in that without having to vote for it. Monday, the filibuster started again. Do you regret giving that map in the way last week went?
Well, Scott, we've always kind of viewed this map and the rest of the process separately. It's been mm-hmm. kind of tied together, you know, for the lack of, you know, just it has. I mean, but we've really tried to keep those issues separate, knowing that we got to get a map done. The things that we want to accomplish in the legislative session is a separate issue. But again, what we've seen in the process is that they've always taken what we consider to be small issues, some of the things that should not, that have had a lot of consensus work and agreement to get them done, but then they try to tie a big, big, heavy issue to something that really makes it very difficult for those things to move at all. If that process continues like that, it's going to be very difficult for us to get some of the small things across the finish line. Maybe we get a couple of the big ticket items done at the end of the day, but it's going to be a very slow process. We've got 6 weeks. We've got the budget to do, and it's going to be a challenge to get some of the issues
done.
You're
going to put the map on hold for just a little bit, maybe focus on some other legislation?
I spoke with Senator Koenig, which is someone that's worked very hard on this map. I spoke with him last night. I'm certain we will evaluate over the weekend and get in Jeff City. I may go back to draw, you know, the business of drawing maps myself to try to find something that maybe if we were able to do a Senate bill that we kind of knew that could get through the Senate and maybe back over to the House side that might have some of the fixes that they're looking for in there.
Are you ever tempted to just have the House folks go talk to Senator Onder? Let them take a whack at it.
they could try that. And it's not all Senator Onder. There are multiple people that have been involved in this process that has made it very challenging. But again, it does kind of center around Jefferson County, St. Charles County has been the linchpin in this whole map process to begin with.
So end of the day, maybe get a budget done. Do you believe you walk out of there in May with a congressional map passed?
Here's the optimism that comes into me. I optimistically believe that we will because I won't quit working at it.
This is where Senator Bernskeiter says you're a kid rolling around in manure looking for a pony, right?
Yes, that is true. You know, I think he characterized it as that, if there was a child in a room full of manure digging around saying there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Well, I do believe there's, you know, an opportunity for us to find a way to, you know, I'm just not going to stop working on it. I haven't stopped, you know, my 12 years of trying to get things done that I felt were important. This is an important issue for the legislature to get done, and so I'll keep working for it.
Well, Senator, we look forward to watching the process unfold the last 6 weeks and the campaign unfold here, and hope you'll come back and discuss both on This Week in Missouri
Absolutely
Politics.
Look forward to it, Scott. Appreciate it.
Very much. We'll be right back with more This Week in Missouri Politics. Chris Arps from News Talk STL joins us, but first, go to showinmissouri.com. This is Missouri one county at a time. Check out our Johnson County episode. We go all about Old Drum, man's best friend. We'll be right back after this.
All across Missouri, our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads, because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople, while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work. Ameren Missouri.
We are back this week in Missouri Politics. Opinion Maker Panel Time. Representative Wiley Price, City of St. Louis, host of the big St. Patrick's Day event. Welcome back to the show.
Very good to be here.
Ms. Donna Behringer, representative from South City. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Chris Arbs, News Talk STL. So excited to join you. And folks can actually hear us on your station this morning.
Exactly. You were on this this afternoon. Great having you, and looking forward to this great partnership that we're going to have with you.
The Dean of the Missouri Republican Party, David Barklage, thank you for coming back.
Thank you, sir.
Chris, let's talk about the maps. End of the day, you've got essentially Jeff County, the House wants together. Senator Onder wants St. Charles County together. You had a few other folks messing with other counties, but at the end of the day, hard to really hold a lot against the Speaker or Senator Onder for when their counties together. But it also means you probably don't get a map.
Yeah, that is true. But we're seeing all of this delay with this map. We've just got a few more weeks left in the session, and we really haven't gotten a lot done. I've taken an exception to most of my Republicans. I was not in favor of a 7-1 map. I thought a 6-2 map was the best that we were going to get. And I was mostly concerned with taking a black representative out of Kansas City and turning it into a Republican district. I'm Republican, and I would like to see African Americans vote more Republican, but I don't believe in gerrymandering the district.
But a black Democrat that can deliver for Missouri. When Roy Blunt's gone, he'd be the only one that could probably call the White House and get a response.
Well, maybe. But
I mean, Manuel Cleaver does carry weight in a lot of places that a lot of folks don't.
Well, maybe we can have a Republican maybe win that district and be competitive for once. Maybe we can have a true Republican. But I don't want to see the district gerrymandered to have that.
Representative, I was a little bit surprised. The House comes up normally, leadership for something, let's do it. This time, no. Your colleagues across the aisle said, we're not going for this. The Democrats stuck with them and turned the Senate map down in a day.
Yeah.
A little bit surprised?
No, we have a right to.
Sure.
I was on one of those congressional committees, and we started in July. And we followed the law for redistricting, which means you cannot gerrymander. And so we sat back and we all worked together, and the map that Democrats came up with and the map that the Republican House came up with were pretty similar. So when it was sent over to the Senate, and they sat on it since January 19th, because they were busy reading books and filibustering.
Well, you can see why they sat on it now.
Well, what they have sent back over is a gerrymandered map. It's illegal. It's not going to hold up in court. So go ahead. Keep up with your gerrymandered map. It's not a legal map.
I mean, you'd be a little surprised. I mean, a lot of times, while the House is right, they don't really assert that right that often, but they did here, stood up for themselves.
I mean, you got to remember, it's a bicameral system, and sometimes you have to remind the system, the Senate, of just that. You can't.
I think they got the memo this week.
I mean, I think so. I mean, we sent them a bill, I think, 2 months ago, and they sent it back with 4 days left, basically, and expected us to rubber stamp it, and it's just not the way we do business.
David Barklage, at the end of the day, I mean, you could draw a map that keeps 80% of St. Charles County together and keeps all of Jeff County together, but it looks really bad. I mean, I don't think anybody in the Senate thought this was a contiguous, compact. It wasn't even really drawn for partisan reasons. It was drawn to make a couple people happy. I don't have a big beef with people sticking up for their own counties, but you probably can't get a map and accomplish those things.
Like, I agree, but I think what we saw it reduced into at the last minute in the Senate, that the core part of the caucus sort of gave in, and I think they gave in to bad behavior. And if you really looked at the map, you looked at how it was cut out in defiance, how that benefited potentially Bob Onder, how cutting Marshfield in half was specifically aimed to the benefit of Eric Burleson and really disjointed, I mean, really separated that community.
A little more distasteful. Well, that's not sticking up for your county. No. That just clearly helps me today.
And so to me, redistricting should have a broader force than that. And in the past, in 2002, when we took over the legislature, we were able to, and with a Democrat governor, come to a map in 2012. Same thing, and I actually, 1982, I was the sole Republican House redistricting staff person. I was in college, but I've never seen it like this. Typically, we have deferred greatly to the congressional delegation to do it. The difference between Jeff County and St. Charles County, I'll say, is this, is that the Republican priority must be to make Ann Wagner's seat holdable, and to that regard, it's consistent with taking care of the urban core of St. Louis. And the same thing, I agree with Chris in Kansas City, there was never a 7-1 map. That was a lie. And to use a 7-1 map, beat up your colleagues, and into last minute, carve little niches out for self-interest.
But if it works for you, why don't you do it?
But it was the same behavior the entire time.
Right.
The 7-1 was an overreach.
But that is an institutional slap. And to the extent that you allow this behavior to continue to where it is so about one group or another, and I'm not calling out the Conservative Caucus so much, it is that we've got to act more as a legislature that is about the people of Missouri.
David Buckley, you're as responsible for the Republican majority in the Senate as anybody in the state. However, if you see that behavior and you see it working, are you representing your folks properly if you don't engage in what works?
It's not working, though.
Look at that map last week.
No, they're having some successes, but it's a Pyrrhic victory. Where's that map today? It's dead.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the U.S. Senate race. It's a bit of a change up this week.
Yes, it was.
It seems like there's a big change every week. This week it was Senator Sifton. I have always said one of the best state senators the Democrat Party's had in the last 10, 15 years. He bowed out of the race in favor of someone I think you might be excited about.
Trudy Bush Valentine. And I have to tell you that I appreciate what Scott has done because he's putting his weight behind her. And with his depth of knowledge and his experience and his abilities, I think he will be very helpful to her. But the reason I think she's a breath of fresh air is because we know the Bushes, right? They are an immigrant family that came to this country that made something of themselves. They are baseball. And she is a mother. She is a nurse. She unfortunately lost her husband to cancer, and she lost her son to opiates. So here is someone that I think on many levels we can relate to across the state. So I am excited for the Democrats that Trudy has jumped in.
It's like I can hear "Here Comes the King" in the background when she said it. Hey, Wally Price, that video was impressive, especially the first part. I mean, this is Gussie Bush's daughter. I would also assume if the Democrats nominate a woman, if they do get Eric Greitens, that's probably a bit of an advantage too, right?
Yeah, I think the Democrats finally did something right in getting our base excited. We haven't had somebody to get excited about in a very long time. And I think that Skifton is a class act for the way that he stepped down. And I think that's an example for a lot of politicians who have ego and not do what's right for the party often.
Chris Upps, where are we at right now?
You know, the Democratic Party right now is engaged on a populist bent, so I'm not sure how a billionaire beer heiress is going to relate to the Cori Bush crowd. She had a hiccup a little bit with her, came out that she was the queen of the Veiled Prophet Fair. She worries me, though, because if they can paint her as a Claire McCaskill moderate Democrat, she could win.
This is a key moment for Republicans. I think Trudy Bush is a very viable candidate. I think she's running because she decided, not because Joe Biden or someone called her. And so that kind of sincerity breeds a commitment, and that kind of commitment breeds success. To that regard, I think Missouri Republicans need to look at one thing: how the field reacts. If the field continues to react each of their own individual interest, we potentially will cost Republican control of the U.S. Senate.
And deserve it.
And that is correct. And I'm afraid that that's the direction. How Billy Long, how Eric Schmidt, how Eric Greitens, how all of them pull together on this will really tell us something about their own character, if they're willing to allow their own personal interests to succeed at the cost of the national interest.
Chris Upps, though, I mean, you watch how these things develop. I honestly do think if there's a lot of plugged-in Republicans, their priority would be to keep the seat. Now, they might be angry and want to support one of the others, or maybe no one, but keeping the seats a priority, I believe Mrs. Bush getting into the race probably does make it a little more critical. There's a better chance to keep the seat with her than anybody else.
Yeah, but I just hope, though, that Republicans do take that into account. You know, a lot of people think that they could be the next United States senator, so they may not take the cues that you should drop out. But again, as I said, Mrs. Valentine's very formidable. If they can make her as Claire McCaskill 2.0, I think she's got a real chance.
And it's not even about dropping out. I mean, if you are the McCloskeys or someone and you're hearing people say, oh, you're ruining this race, it's about putting your fire in the right place. So it's not just whether or not they have the right to stay in or not. I'm not going to argue that someone should get out, but I am going to argue that I think there's an obvious target in this race, and all the Senate candidates should be focusing on that.
You know, if you're NARAL or some of these other groups that get beat up by Republicans a lot, maybe it would be good for the Republican Party to nominate Eric Greitens and support him, and then you just get all these faith and values issues off the table, right? I mean, you can't be the party of values and the party of domestic violence, can you? We'll see.
Is that rhetorical?
No, it's very literal, very literal. Prediction, Lucas Kuntz released a big chunk of St. Louis endorsements. How close is this primary on the Democrat side?
I think it's exciting for Democrats to have a chance. I think we're in the beginning of a huge swing. Missouri is a swing state. We switch back and forth about every 25 years, and it looks like we're on the start of that swing.
Who wins that primary? Don, how much does Ms. Bush win that primary by?
I can't call
She's
it.
She's going to win. And that's because what people, the most important thing is passion for what you're doing. And she does. She has the name recognition. She has the funds. She has the passion.
Who wins that primary?
I want to see how this veiled prophet situation
comes out. Is that a big deal? As far as I'm from St. Louis, I don't know what this is.
I think it does.
Is that a big deal? 20 years ago.
The Cori Bush and the very progressive African-Americans, I think, are going to make an issue.
But they're going
to
support the guy that used to be pro-life. Over her, over the veiled prophet. We had to, you had to come back. That is something we had to explain. If you're not from really, really St. Louis, you don't know.
Right.
But we're about to get kicked off there. So with a minute left, who won the week?
I don't even have a winner for this week. My last two questions are, I can't call it. So I'm the worst of the week right now. Well, I lost the week. I've lost the week.
Well, okay, that's fair enough.
Scott Sifton.
Yeah.
Good call. Who won the week?
St. Louis Cardinal fans. Dale Lombre is back.
Speaking, and here comes the game plays on Thursday. What a great week.
Pat Thomas, one more time, she sort of stands up and does the right thing, sort of proving she is her own person.
I got to say, I've been pretty pretty understanding, maybe defending Senator Onder and Senator Vescovo, or Speaker Vescovo, for keeping their counties together. Let's say Mike Cunningham, never easy to speak out. Mike Cunningham fighting to keep his county together. Former state senator from Webster County stood up and being, I think he took a page out of Senator Onder's book, being pretty aggressive about it. So I say Mike Cunningham, sticking for Webster County, won the week. Hope you'll win the week next week by joining us here on This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics is sponsored by the Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, Ameren, Spire, and Sterling Bank.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. I want to tell you about a new thing we're offering. It's the Missouri Times Podcast Network. You'll get this show every week. If you want to listen to it in your car, you don't have time to watch it. You'll get our Show in Missouri podcast, History of Missouri, one county at a time. You'll also get our midweek update. Once a week, I throw up the Facebook Live. We talk politics, usually till lunch, and discuss politics. You'll get to hear all those things come right to your phone. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Android, Missouri Times Podcast Network. Please join us and subscribe.